The question was asked, what is this concept that the Hebrew alphabet changed? So the Talmud tells us in Tractate Sanhedrin. We have a quote. Initially, the Torah was given to Israel in Ktav Ivri Vilashon HaKodesh. The writing was what's called Ktav Ivri. Rashi in different places translates it as the writing of people on the other side of the Euphrates. That was the alphabet. But the language was Lashon HaKodesh. Chazra v'nitna lehem b'mei Ezra b'ktav ha-shuit. And then the Torah was given to them again in the writing, what our writing today, what the Talmud calls Ktav Ashuris, the Assyrian script. He continues and then he says, the Jewish people decided, whatever that means, that they're sticking with Ktav Ashuris and Lashon HaKodesh, and they left Ktav Ivris, that script, for regular, ordinary writing, so that whenever they have to write regular letters or stuff, they'd use that script.
Was
so that's
in that?
No. He doesn't say when. In the days of Ezra, I'm sorry. He says already it's in days of Ezra. Rav Chista says, how do the Kutim write? The Kutim don't accept our tradition. They write their Torah in the ancient script, the Euphrates script. So if you find old manuscripts that have the whole Torah written in that script, that's the Kutim. That's how they write their Torah. It's very possible. Rav Chista says that the original Ksav prior to Ezra was Ksav Livono'o, which we might call Lebanese Ksav, Lebanese script, which Rashi explains means big letters, that it's not a different script, it's just a larger font. And Rabbi, then we quote a Brisa. Until now we were quoting Amoraim. Now we quote a Brisa, we quote Tanaic opinions. Rabbi Yossi says Ezra was so great that the whole Torah could have been given by him to Israel. The only thing is Moshe beat him to it. By Moshe it says Moshe went up to the mountain. By Ezra it says Ezra went up from Babylon. And the similar terminology of Aliyah connotes a similarity between them. Moshe says, God commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and laws. Ezra says, it says, Ezra prepared his heart to learn the Torah of Hashem and to perform and teach Israel statutes and laws, just like Moshe. And even though Ezra did not merit to have the Torah be given by him, nonetheless, he did merit to have the script changed by him. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. And he quotes a verse in Ezra that says, the script changed. The script changed. So that's what the verse says. That in the days of Ezra, the script changed. Rashi says, where'd that come from? When the angel appeared in the book of Daniel, the angel appears and writes the script on the wall. So the angel is writing in the new script already. That's why no one could understand it. Because the angel was already in heaven, they had already decided, we're changing the script. So the angel wrote in the new script. And there were a lot of Jews. Why couldn't all the Jews who were at the party, why couldn't they understand the script? Because they didn't know that script yet. That was the new script.
Even if it was Aramaic script?
It was Assyrian script. The Ktav Ashuris, for whatever reason we call it Assyrian. And we have a verse. Do you mind shifting? I'm just having a hard time seeing you over the laptop screen. We have a verse that says that the Chatavet Mishneh Torah Hazot, So Chazal understood that the words Mishne Torah, they had a tradition, meant the Torah is going to change. Because you understand, this is a can of worms.
To say,
you're going to say something changed in the Torah? What about the 13 principles? You can't change anything in the Torah. So if you want, we could look through the sources, and basically one of the major answers that's given is, if the Torah tells you, change the script, and according to Rabbi Yossi, that's what it says here. Mishneh Torah, they had a tradition. There's going to be a shinui, there's going to be a change in how you write the Torah. It's as though God says, this week I want you to write it this way, and later on I'm going to send you a prophet and I want you to change it. So that, once you have a verse in Torah, or you have a tradition that that's the interpretation of that verse, so then that's not a change in Torah. It's built into the Torah that there's going to be this change. It's like the Torah says, the 40 years in the desert, you're going to eat the man, you're going to enter Israel, you're going to stop eating the man. So the Torah can tell you, you're going to write the Torah this way, and then at a point you're going to change. So that's the tradition they had. So the Gemara says, why is it called Ketav Ashuris? It's not really Assyrian script. Why do we call it Ketav Ashuris? Because we brought it out of the Assyrian Empire. It came back with us from Ashur. So that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So we have a source in Talmud, a Braisa. Rabbi Yossi's of the opinion that the script changed. Next source. Rabbi says, when the Torah was given to the Jewish people, it was given in this script. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us this script. That's where how he gave us the Torah.
The same script.
The same script we have now. But then the people started sinning, and then they forgot it. The average person, they didn't have printing presses, the average person didn't have this script. So they were writing in their script at home, they were writing their Sifrei Torah. They forgot the script that the Torah was given. And then along came Ezra and said, hey, we're reinstating tradition. We're reinstating the Assyrian, what's called Ketav Ashuris. Why is it called Ashuris? So Rebbe has to give another interpretation. It's not because it came from Ashur. It comes from the word Me'ushar. It is a rejoiceful Ksav. It's a calligraphy that dances. It's a writing that shows joy. So that's the second quote. Then the Talmud quotes more opinions that say the writing never changed. Different sources from the verses that indicate that the writing was a constant. So we have two opinions, two very powerful opinions. Rabbi Yossi is a very powerful opinion in halacha. Rebbe is a very powerful opinion. What's the halacha? So we have a Jerusalem Talmud. The Jerusalem Talmud says we have a tradition that on the luchos, on the tablets, the letters were written totally engraved through and through. So now if you have a letter that's a complete circle and you're going to engrave it through and through, so then the center of that letter should fall out. Right? You can't make a zero, carve out a zero and have the middle stay in. So the Jerusalem Talmud says, well, if you go with the opinion that it was our script that Moshe was writing with, so then according to our script, the mem, that's a final mem, that's like a box, so then that had to stand with a miracle, because otherwise the middle should have fallen out. The samach, according to our script, well, that's a circle. So then that should have fallen out too, the center of the samach. That stood by a miracle. And if you go with the opinion that says that they were using the other script, the Ivri script, so then the ayin is a circle. And then the ayin stayed with a miracle. That's what the Jerusalem Talmud says. But the Babylonian Talmud doesn't say that. The Babylonian Talmud in Tractate Megillah says that the mem and samach in the luchos stood their ground with a miracle. So the Babylonian Talmud seems to be siding with the opinion that in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, their final mem and samach looked like our final mem and samach. And that's why many commentaries say, if you want to draw a bottom line conclusion, you see the Babylonian Talmud comes to a conclusion and says the script never changed. So we know there were sinners in the first temple who caused us all to lose that script, and the majority of the people forgot that. And they had their Sifrei Torah written in the modern script. What was modern for them? The Ivri script. We know the Kutim in the days of the Second Temple were writing their Torah texts with that script because they didn't accept the rabbis. So along comes Ezra and says, hey, this is the script. Either he's initiating something or he's returning back to the ancient tradition. But either way, you have a mass of people who are not listening, who are still writing their Sifrei Torah that way. So if you're going to find archaeological sources that... till today, I don't know what the Kutim do today. I don't know. So those are the major sources. Now, if we want to continue, we have further sources. Rabbi, you have a response in the Gaonim about this. How many sources do you want to go through? Is there a specific angle that interests you here? This is the major overview. Two opinions in Talmud. Really, there are three. We didn't go into the fine details between them. And the Jerusalem and Babylonian Talmud. And the approach as to why is this not a change in our tradition. Because if the Torah tells you it's yet to come, that's not considered a change. So that's an overview. Now, there's a lot to discuss. You tell me. Maybe we should see on our parsha. There's a panim yofos on our parsha that's relevant to our discussion here. Remember the panim yofos? We discussed them earlier tonight. Rav Pinchas Horowitz of Chortikov from Poland, who learned by the Maggid of Mezrich, and also learned with Rav Nosson Adler and the Noda Biyuda. Remember the panim yofos? He's the one who wrote the Haflah, which we quoted earlier tonight. So, the Panim Yofos, back to the Panim Yofos. So his commentary on Torah, he writes as follows. On our Parsha, it says in our Parsha, Vavei Amudim V'chashukeim Kesef, Kasef, that the hooks of the poles, so their hooks used to look like a Vav, straight out. So one of the sources the Talmud quotes in Tractate Sanhedrin is that just like the poles didn't change, the vav didn't change. What's that saying? So he says the tunes of the Torah and the vowels of the Torah and the crowns of the Torah and the letters of the Torah. So we have four things. Tune, vowels,
the tune,
the timim that we...
Different. The tune is the song, yeah.
Okay, we'll see in a second. The tune, the song in which we sing the Torah, the vowels, the nekudos, the crowns of the Torah, and the letters of the Torah correspond to Hashem's four-lettered name, the Tetragrammaton. And when Am Yisrael sinned, so their sin affected, on some Kabbalistic level, the last letter, the last he. And that's why Rebbe says, when we sinned, that's when our script got lost. Because we said there are four components to the Torah. The letter, the crown. I'm going in reverse order. The letter, the crown, the vowels, and the tune. So each of them corresponds to a different aspect of the Tetragrammaton. Well, when we sinned, so the script changed. And it says in the verse that the length of 15 amos that were left on each side correspond to the name Yud-Kei. So the poles correspond to the Vav of Hashem's name. So you have Yud-Kei is the 15. Then you have the poles, which are after Yud-Kei comes the Vav. And then finally you have the height of 5, which is the last He. And if you connect, everything gets connected by those hooks on the poles. So that's the idea that the hooks and on the poles can show us that the writing never changed. So we have a Kabbalistic concept that four components of the Torah correspond to the four letters. In the Mishkan, you had four sections that corresponded. You had a 15 Amma section corresponds to the first two letters. You had the poles, which are the shape of a Vav. They correspond to the Vav. And then you have another section that's five, that's a height of five, and that's okay, whatever. He quotes this Kabbalistic concept to explain this. That's a Kabbalistic explanation of all this. Now, we have a Malbim. You guys know the Malbim, right?
Yes.
Okay, the Malbim was Rav Meir Leibush ben Rav Yechiel Michel Weiser. Really, Weiser was his stepfather. He was orphaned as a young child. His mother remarried, and his... I don't remember if Weiser was his biological father or his stepfather. The word Malbim is an acronym for his name, but it also means white, like Weiser. It's important to know he was married at 13. One of the great wealthy Jews of his town wanted to support his learning, told him, "Marry my daughter, I'll take care of you." He was married and divorced very shortly thereafter. And he led the struggle against the Reform movement. He wrote his commentary on Tanakh, pointing out the exact definition of each word and showing how the Haskalah movement has no foundation in their understanding of Tanakh. The Reform movement wasn't about to sit quietly by and let him get away with this, so they had him arrested and sentenced to death. So he was chief rabbi of Bucharest in Romania, and the people of the Reform movement had him arrested, and he was on death row. When Sir Moses Montefiore entered the case, and he pleaded on his behalf, and the authorities agreed to release him, but they deported him. And then the rest of his life, he spent traveling. The last place he served as rabbi was in Prussia, in Königsberg. He had a suffering throughout his life. He didn't have a simple life. But his commentary is one of the greatest works of genius. He takes every word and defines it with an exacting definition. His whole theme in his commentary is that every word has an exact meaning. No two words in Tanakh have the same meaning. You cannot find two words in the Hebrew language that have an identical meaning. And he works with that precept, showing how different words might seem similar, but they are very different. Tsar and Oyev, Gila, Rina, Ditzach, Edva, Simcha, Sason, every one of them has an exact definition by the Malbim. He also wrote a commentary on the halachic works, the Medrashei Halacha on Tanakh, and he wrote, he started writing a halachic work. He was writing a halachic work condensing the different commentaries on the Codex on the Shulchan Aruch. When he walked into the shul of the Chassam Sofer, and took a seat, only he didn't realize he was sitting in the Chassam Sofer seat. And the Chassam Sofer walked into shul and was headed towards his seat when suddenly he looked up and saw the Malbim. And the Malbim looked up and saw the Chassam Sofer. So the Malbim jumped out of the chair, and the Chassam Sofer said, "No, stay where you are." And when he said those words, "Stay where you are," the Malbim felt like it was a curse. Stay where you are in your learning. And he felt that from that day onward, he can't continue writing the halachic work. And that's why we only have his halachic work for 32 or 36 simanim in the Shulchan Aruch. And then it stops. He didn't continue. And he went on to work on other works. He wrote a dictionary. He wrote an encyclopedia. He wrote other things. But he never continued his halachic work. So at any rate, the Malbim was a super genius. And in his commentary on Parshas Shoftim, so he's discussing those words, V'chos avlos mishne ha-Torah hazos, which we saw, one understanding is the king has an obligation to write a second copy of Torah. Another interpretation, another tradition we have is that it means there's going to be mishne Torah, there's going to be a change in the Torah. So, the Malbim first goes out to prove that it does not mean what we ordinarily understand it to mean, that the king has a mitzvah to write a second Sefer Torah. And the Malbim quotes a Sifri that says what our Gemara said, that Mishneh Torah refers to the fact that the Torah is going to change. And the Malbim says, we can explain that Ktav Ivri are big letters, and the Sefer, and the king had to write a small Sefer Torah that he'd take with him wherever he went. That's the mitzvah. So the king can't walk around lugging a huge Sefer Torah. So he wrote a Mishneh Torah, a Torah with a different font. Not that he used a different font, but a different size font. So that fits with the Gemara that said the original Ksav was just big letters, and then Ezra came and made it into small letters. Right? We saw that in the Gemara. So that's what he's saying. What's Mishneh Torah? That you have to write it in small letters. He suggests that it could be that, according to the opinion, that originally the Torah was written in Ksav Ivri, and then they switched to Ksav Ashuri. The king always had a Sefer Torah in Ksav Ashuri. If the source, where do we learn this idea from that the letter is going to change? Because it says Mishneh Torah. Where does it say Mishneh Torah? And the commandment to the king, it says he will write a Mishneh Torah. So the Malbim suggests it could be that the king always had his Sefer Torah written in that script in Ksav Ashuri. It was only after the destruction of the first temple when Ezra came along and said, okay, now we have to implement what the Torah said, Mishneh Torah, to change it for everyone. So that's a beautiful chiddush of the Malbim. And that's a concept which we encountered in other places, that certain things were performed by the elite and later on became a mitzvah for the masses. Well, Rav Margolios quotes a Zohar that says that the elite wore Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin in Moshe Rabbeinu's days. He had two sets of tefillin. The elite would wear Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Later on, it went to the masses. The idea of dunking, going to the mikveh for carry. So Rashi, in his interpretation of Tractate Brachos, writes that the great warriors would go dunk. You see it, the Gemara says in Moshe Rabbeinu's time they did it. But the Gemara doesn't say it went on. Rashi learns in the Gemara in Brachos that David's top warriors would go to the mikveh. One of the praises of one of the warriors is that he went in the snow. So even though it was snow, he chiseled through the ice and went to a mikveh.
It's
in the
actual sefer.
It's part of his. You want the Gemara? Do we have Gemara Brachos here? It says, So the Gemara in the first parak of Brachos says, what's betocha bor biyom ha-shaleg? De-nachat gzize de-bardo ve-yorad ve-toval. He broke pieces of ice and went down and dunked. And Rashi over there says it means he dunked for carry. So we have many concepts that begin as something for the elite, and then the rabbis instituted for the masses. Netilas Yadayim began for Kohanim, and then it was expanded for everyone to wash their hands. You have many concepts that way. So that's a beautiful pshat of the Malbim. Yes?
So the Torah changing, according to this opinion, refers just to switching from back from Hebrew script to Assyrian script.
No one says it's Assyrian script. They call it Ashuris, either because we brought it from the Assyrian Empire, we began writing in that form when we were in the Assyrian Empire, or because it is a form of calligraphy that reflects rejoicing, Me'ushar.
Okay. So Ashuris script, so not Ashuri. So according to that opinion, that's what the means that the Torah is going to change, is that it went to back to Ashuris script.
Either back or it was new. Two opinions in the Talmud. We said there are really three. Yes?
Is there some other opinion that's like, if we're going to get another book or like a...
No. No. There is a long ritva, but I think it's late at night and we covered a lot. There's much more to be discussed. There's a ritva, there's a ran, there's a marsha, there's an aruch laner. There's also this idea that Rashi says that the script wasn't really changed by Ezra. It was the angel in the days of Daniel who changed it. It was Ezra who implemented for the masses. So that's an interesting thing. There's a discussion about what Maimonides held on this whole argument. There's a discussion about what Rav Saadia Gaon held on all this. there's a lot to be discussed. Many of the commentaries held, like we said in the beginning, that because the Talmud in Megillah says that the Mem and the Samach and the Luchos were miraculously formed, so that's a sign, that's an indication that the Talmud doesn't rule, like that the script changed. There's a lot more to be discussed. It affects how we interpret the verse Mishneh Torah vis-a-vis the commandment for a king to write a second Torah. And that's why there is a halachic relevance as to how you're going to define whether the Torah was changed or not, because then it impacts on the mitzvah of a king writing a second copy of the Torah. And that's why the commentaries on the Rambam and on Rav Sadia Gaon, they go into how do we rule. Do we rule that the Torah script changed and then Mishneh Torah is used for that? Or is Mishneh Torah, that's not the point of Mishneh Torah? And then Mishneh Torah can be darshaned for the king. But again, that's a broader discussion, not for tonight.